Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Last night, Turner Sports, TNT Inside the NBA, Charles Barkley. Boy, did he take aim at the Cavalier players.
I want to call out the Cleveland Cavaliers. I thought what they did to Coach Beilein was ridiculous, unprofessional. I think the veterans on that team were not leaders. And I think the young guys who can't play think they're better than they are. And they tried to get that man fired. They got that man fired. And
He stepped down.
Well, he stepped down because he didn't like Ernie.
That's called firing.
That's firing, Ernie. When white people get fired, they call it parted ways. When black people, we get fired. I'm so disgusted by those players trying to get that man fired. Jim Beilein is a hell of a coach, and I think he's a good guy. But for those players to complain about we're practicing too hard, we're watching too much film because they stink. I just didn't think that was fair. When a coach is wrong, I'm going to call him out. But when players are wrong, I'm going to call them out. And I'm disgusted by what the Cavaliers did to Coach Beilein.
All right, there he is, courtesy of TNT Inside the NBA, Charles Barkley, yesterday and now appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report. I know he's always a tough act to follow, Howard, but do you agree? Do you agree this is all on the players?
Good morning, fellas. Charles Barkley's got obviously a lot more gravitas on these issues and experience with it than I do from up close. And he's coming at it certainly from perspective of his own experiences in his own generation. And that was at a time when coaches were the absolute authority in the NBA and still kind of inhabited that old, model of the coach as ultimate boss, right? That's not really today's NBA. So I respect where Charles is coming from on that, and he's not wrong to think that the players bear a lot of responsibility here for simply not being on board, not doing enough to try to be on board. But the problem is that that's just not the way it works anymore. In today's NBA, the coach is a collaborator, not the ultimate boss. And especially when you've got veterans, a couple of whom are still there from the championship team, who, they got to allow you to coach. And ask any coach this. Ask Greg Popovich even this, who is as old school as they come and one of the only old school types really left, that you can only coach guys to the extent that they let you coach them. And in a way, that's always been the case. Maybe it's just more so the case now. But if you don't connect, if you don't have the kind of communication skills and relationship skills that allow you to engender some trust and a certain amount of latitude that goes with that trust, then when you try to go, hard-ass approach, it backfires. You need to establish those lines and those bonds first. And, Beilein's not the first one to get tripped up by this. There are others. But, you can't take a college coach mentality into an NBA locker room where guys are all independent brands and independent corporations and make tens of millions of dollars sometimes. And, have as much or more standing and leverage than you do. And so this isn't just about players, planning a mutiny or overthrowing the coach. This is about, you know, them just not connecting with him or him not connecting with them, and eventually the organization recognizing this just isn't working. So it's not even really about, you know, did the players do this to Beilein? You know, Beilein bears responsibility. If he couldn't connect with them, that, you know, that's his job. And so, you know, at a certain point, you just recognize this was not the right fit.
How much blame does Dan Gilbert share in the hire of Beilein from the standpoint of this, you know, J.B. Bickerstaff's now, I think, the sixth coach in 7 years for the Cavaliers, either full-time or interim. I was telling people in town in September that I didn't think Beilein would survive the season, and I had a lot of people laugh at me and tell me I'm crazy. Looking back at the reporting over the last couple of days, Howard, about how the wheels were starting to pop off all the way back in summer league in Vegas in the resistance to his coaching style. So how much blame does Gilbert share in hiring a guy that clearly did not fit the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's on the owner. It's on the owner in the front office. And in this case, you know, if some of the reporting is true that you know, Gilbert had a big hand in this, then yeah, it's on him. Of course it is. You know, the fact is that's a team that, as you guys know, has had very little stability in terms of coaches, even in the good times, very little stability in the front office. You know, Kobe Altman being the first one under Dan Gilbert ever to get an extension, and under odd circumstances, like, you know, nothing against Kobe, of course, but I, you know, of all the times that you could have extended a guy, this is when they chose to do it. I mean, they had situations with GMs with, you know, a better and more established track records at during better times, more winning times, that couldn't get the extension. So it's just a strange time to all of a sudden change his policy of never extending a GM. So yeah, of course it's on Dan Gilbert. It always goes back to the owner. And I've said many times, I thought that his ownership style, his management style, whatever faults he has, were kind of masked over by LeBron deciding to come back because he wanted to play at home. And, you know, once you've lost that player and you're forced to just simply have to try to do things by just good management to rebuild things, that's when it really exposes whether you are a competent ownership or not.
Howard Beck, you can also check out his podcast, Full 48, always has terrific guests breaking down the NBA. So what I'm hearing a lot of, Howard, from our fans, look, me and you are basketball junkies. They have us no matter what. I can't stress that enough. However, we are hearing from a lot of fans that they're just not into this league right now. Obviously, here locally, they have a lot of reason for that, but also they're sick and tired of hearing stories like the inmates running the asylum, even the thug comment, the slug got taken out of context, whatever. That was a big part of the story afterwards. When you hear these fans say this, do you sympathize with them? Do you understand where they're coming from?
I mean, I'm not hearing that stuff directly because obviously I'm not hosting hours and hours of talk radio. And listening to callers, I don't know what the whether it's in your market or anywhere else. I couldn't tell you why fans are starting to or seemingly this season drifting away from the NBA a little bit. Maybe it's the things you just listed. That may vary by market. That may vary by just individual. I don't know. The idea of, I hate the phrase "inmates running the asylum" because it's kind of offensive. But it that's been going on. That expression, that concern, that feeling by some fans who long for a different kind of league or a different era of the NBA, that's been going on for years and years and years already. So it can't be that's leading to lower ratings. The fact is there's a bazillion different things that are going into the national ratings drop. If anything, this season should have been a time where more fans got engaged again because there was no clear favorite in either conference. There was no Warrior dynasty to deal with. Maybe it's proof that the opposite was always true, that maybe, you know, dominant dynastic teams are actually a driver of ratings because they're polarizing and you're either rooting for them or against them. Maybe the lack of a Warrior super team is actually hurting the NBA. I don't know. Maybe it's LeBron being in the Western Conference and it hurting the late night ratings because of just the time change. I don't know how to break that down. I don't think anybody really has a great read on that.
Howard Beck joining us. Howard, anytime there's a coaching change midseason, there's problems that come with that. There's 28 games left in the season. J.B. Bickerstaff, he took over in Houston. They ended up making the playoffs. He took over in Memphis, and they were obviously in a transitional period, and they struggled. What should be a reasonable expectation for these final 28 games with Bickerstaff at the helm? Of course, he's going to be at the helm going forward. He's now the head coach, but what's that realistic expectation right now going forward?
It can't be about the record. A team that's in transition, a team that's rebuilding. I've said this many times about the team in my own backyard in the Knicks. When you're rebuilding, you can't start putting pressure on coaches and players in front office to say, well, it's got to be about getting to this number or chase the eighth seed or what. Like that, when you're rebuilding, it's got to be about, are you developing the young guys, period. What you should want, what ownership and the front office should be looking for at a time like this with a couple months to go in a lost season is, are the young guys getting better? Does there look like there's a format out there for them to play in that is catering to their best skills? And are they showing signs of evolving? And if they're not, maybe that's on coaching. Maybe the players that you picked weren't that good in the first place and you simply misfired in the draft.
Howard Beck with us on the hotline. So when you look at some of these young players, Colin Sexton, Porter Jr., not to mention the one that only played five games in college at the point guard position, name escapes me. This is a real professional. Yeah, Darius Garland, thank you. When you look at the way that they're playing, are you hearing anything from around the league that those kids might be able to pan out at some point?
It's not a question I've posed to people recently, to be honest. I mean, I haven't checked it. Like the Cavaliers haven't been top of my list of teams to ask around.
Nothing, Howard. The Cavs are getting no buzz anywhere nationwide.
Not unless it was about whether Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson were getting traded at the deadline. So I have not heard anybody volunteer any information about whether they like the Cavaliers' young players or not recently, to be honest. I mean, it hasn't come up.
Isn't that an indictment, though, if no one's talking about these young supposed rising stars or whatever?
I wouldn't go that far. The gossip lines in the NBA, the conversation on a given day can vary based on a lot of different things. But I would say, yeah, I mean, if there was somebody that they thought was really going to pop, then even in association with the Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson stuff, somebody would probably say, hey, you know what? No one's going to take Kevin Love. But if they threw in fill in the blank, maybe people would consider it. I didn't hear anything along those lines. So if you want to put it in that kind of context, do their young players even come up as a point of discussion because of the promise or because, well, yeah, they're bad now, but give them a little time because these two guys are going to pop. Yeah, I've not heard really any of that.
All right, Howard, one last question since we're down to the final 28 or so games in the NBA. Some teams might have 30. Are you picking the Lakers? Are you picking the Clippers? Are you picking the field?
I had the Clippers from the get-go. I'm kind of sticking there, even though there's certainly some alarming signs there. Paul George's health has been an issue all season and continues to be. So they haven't had the continuity that you'd want. But I have believed generally since the start of the season and even more so now that they've got the best depth and versatility of the two LA teams. And, adding Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, I mean, I'm not sure about fit entirely, but it's giving them other options. It's giving them other dimensions. So I just think the Clippers have more to fall back on. The Lakers, obviously, with LeBron playing like he's, 28 again, and he and Anthony Davis just wrecking people, they're great, but they're very, very, very reliant on those two. There's not a whole lot that you're going to get individually out of any other player on that Laker roster. So as long as LeBron is healthy and spry, the Lakers clearly can come out of the West. But, I'll fall back on my preseason Clipper prediction. And obviously, the Bucks in the East are the favorites. I don't think they're a lock. I know that the record and the gap between them and the rest of the field suggests that they're a lock. But I still think there's a lot for them to have to prove with really a one-star, model there. Whereas, teams like the Celtics and Raptors, Heat, even the Sixers, if they ever get their stuff together, have more ways they can go, a little bit more versatility or diversity in terms of their frontline talent. And so I think the Bucks probably come out, but I think they're going to get challenged.
All right, Howard Beck, appreciate you joining us as always. And next time we talk to you, I want all sorts of analysis on Colin Sexton from around the globe.
I'm going to do nothing but ask scouts and executives for the next 3 weeks to evaluate every Cavs player.
All right, thank you very much. We'll see you, Howard.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Howard Beck appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was Howard Beck. When we come back, one final segment, and I'm trying to find out. You guys into boxing? Because it's a pretty darn big heavyweight matchup this weekend. Is it something you would pay for? I'll get the panel to weigh in. We'll do that next here on 92.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.